Well, let's look in our Bibles tonight. I want to give you something, hopefully, that will be very helpful to you. Turn with me in your Bibles to 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. I want to give you something that's very practical, an encouragement about your, well, about some things in your life that will help you with your health. 3 John 2. John said, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, watch it, and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So today we live in a society that is very health conscious, very health conscious. You get flyers in your mail for health products and vitamins and health foods. You talk to people and they're on special kinds of diets. I think the deal going on now is the fat diet. What do they call that thing? The keto diet. And that's, you know, but, and so before that there was an Atkins diet, and before that there was a something, and there's always something. And what you get is it's always kind of the new and improved and packaged deal. And sometimes, when you try a product, you may find that it's helpful to you. I don't know how many of you are still using barley green, but that was the big deal, whatever it was, 30 years ago. And maybe you still use it. Maybe they don't even make it anymore. I don't even know where we are with barley green. But my point is this: people are concerned for their health, and that's why these products succeed with their marketing, because people are interested in improving their health as a general rule. And if you have found that something that that you like is beneficial that I don't like, or I found something that I like is beneficial to me that you don't like, you know, I won't be critical of what you're doing if you're not critical of what I'm doing. But I'm going to show you something from the Bible tonight that's not faddish. It's been around here for centuries. And God said that it'll help your health. John said to Gaius, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, watch it, and be in health. Now, what I'm going to show you tonight is not the remedy for all of your ailments. You're not going to live in this body forever with what you're seeing here. But these are things that help you. God would not have recorded them in the Scripture if He didn't mean for them to do what He said they would do. So let's look at that. Before we go any further, though, we surely need to have a word of prayer and ask God to help us with our Bible study tonight. Jeremy Keeler, would you pray for us? Amen, amen, amen. So we see here John, who is a very spiritual man, speaking to Gaius and wishing him to be in good health. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Things in the Bible that can help you with your health. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the context, he says in verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables. And there certainly have been those that have been marketed for health. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. He didn't say it doesn't profit, but it profiteth little. Therefore, we know there is a health benefit to exercise. But look what he says. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So Paul tells Timothy here that with godliness would be an improvement, having promise of the life that now is an improvement in this life now, and also in that which is to come. Godliness is not only about what's going to happen on the other side of eternity. It's something that can help you now. Turn to Psalm 42, verse 11. This is going to be more of a Bible study than it is a sermon, but by this I hope you'll learn and that we'll take note together of these things. Notice in Psalm 42, what I've done over the months of reading is just kind of mark down some verses, and a lot of these are in Proverbs, where your health is concerned, and then just wrote the thing down and then kind of put these together in some sort of a format for us tonight so we can learn something. Notice Psalm 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Look at this. Who is the health of my countenance and my God. The health of my countenance and my God. I've noticed something, and you probably have too. If you've ever been around senior saints, seasoned saints, whatever, people that have been saved for a long period of time and have walked with the Lord during that period of time and had avoided things like bitterness and unforgiveness, their faces will show the age, the time, that you can't avoid that, but there is a beauty in the countenance. There is a sparkle in the eye. There is a smile on the face. There is a joy radiant in the countenance that is a testimony to God in their lives. And I told you when we were in the Ukraine that there were a couple of men there that are pastoring now that were saved when they were 50 years old. Ukraine has those people, and that was up on your map here, before we went down to Bangladesh, those people have suffered under a great deal of adversity over centuries. And so it's evident there's a hardness. One of those fellows that was there was a third generation Christian and was called to preach as a young man. The difference in the countenances was as different as night and day. There was a health to the countenance of the man who grew up in a Christian home that was not on the faces of those who grew up in those hardships without God and didn't find the Lord until they were 50 years old. And so certainly I've seen that. I suppose you have as well. So tonight what we're going to do is just we're going to look at this and notice there is health in your relationship with God. There is health in godliness. And John wanted that for Gaius. So turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 3 and notice one of the things that is connected with godliness that will help your health. It's not a cure, but it will certainly help you. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes, watch it, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You see that? So he says here, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Doing that will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We'll spend a little time here. When he says health to thy navel, I don't think, and I'm sure you don't either, that he's just concerned about the health of your belly button. Okay? Today we have a lot of exercises that are designed for core development. Sometimes Paul will speak of bowels of mercies. What he's talking about is you. He's talking about the whole being. He's talking about this stuff that deals with, you know, the core of your body. And he said, if you want health there and you want marrow, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, then fear the Lord and depart from evil. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. And notice what, verses 10 and 11, notice what this fear of the Lord will do for you. Proverbs 9, verses 10 and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, that is the fear of the Lord, by the knowledge of the holy, by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So there's no fountain of youth. Okay, but there is longevity in fearing God. There is longevity in the knowledge of the holy. So when he says this is going to be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, then he's showing you have a way of improving the quality of your life and the quantity of your days by fearing God. You're in Proverbs 3. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 at verse 10. Hear, O my son, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And the years of thy life shall be many. He says something similar in Proverbs chapter 10. I know I'm showing you a few verses, but it's just to show you that several times Solomon has referred to this in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. He says it again, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I remember Dr. Upman telling us a lot of times when we were in school, you know, he was saved when he was in March of 1949, and what was he, 27 years old or something like that. And I can remember when he got to be my age, he started talking about people who were in their 60s, that were in the ministry, who had gone on to be with the Lord. And when we'd come to that next birthday, he'd say, well, so-and-so and so-and-so died this year. Well, he lived to be 94 years old. And he would say to us, if I had kept living the way that I was living, I was sure that I would not live to 40. So by fearing God and departing from evil, God lengthened his days. He thought the toll that had been taken on his body from sin before he was 27 would have been enough to take time off the back end. But God just kept adding years and adding years because of the fear of the Lord and departing from evil. Now, the reason I say this is not a cure, does it reset the clock necessarily to your appointed time? You know people who have lived godly lives whose lives ended shorter than this. So what he's not saying here he's not giving you a promise that says, well, if you'll do this, bless God, you'll be cured of whatever ails you and you'll live to be into your 90s. Because God sets a time for different people. Hezekiah was a very young man when the Lord said, your time to die has come. But what he does do is he prolongs those days and lengthens those days so that they're not as short as they would be if you'd spent those things not fearing God and not departing from evil. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4 and look at verses 20 to 22. We're all on the same subject still right now. The benefit of fearing God, the benefit of departing from evil. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verses 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Watch it, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So while you're considering ways to improve your health today, and there are a variety of things that people here can testify, I do this and it's improved my health. I do that and it's improved my health. I don't eat these things, that's improved my health. I do eat these things and that's improved my health. While you're looking at all that, don't forget what Solomon said. He said, attend to my words. All right, let them not depart from mine eyes. How are you going to do that? You're going to keep the Bible open and you look in there. In other words, if you're more health conscious than you are godliness conscious, keep this in mind. A good period of time in this Bible each day where the Word is coming through your eyes will positively affect your health. There is a health benefit in reading the Bible and keeping these things before your eyes. And he said, let them not depart from thine eyes. So he said, we're not just going to take a cursory glance and say we did it. We're going to look at them well enough so that when we walk away, those things are still in our eyes, those words, right? And then he said, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So they come into the eye, sink down in here. That way when the book is closed and you are on the rest of your day, your heart is still keeping the words that you read. A good way to do that, of course, is memory. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, all of this, all of this that we're looking at, fear the Lord, depart from evil, and the resultant health and the resultant lengthening of days and the resultant health to your flesh is this. It'll make sense to you. Sin takes a toll on your body. And sin takes a toll on your mind. What does Galatians 6:8 say? 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He can sow good things and reap good things. He can sow bad things and reap bad things. So what does he say? He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Sin takes a toll on you. Alcohol affects your liver, affects your mind. Drugs affect, obviously, your mind. I tell you, I was in a county jail many years ago preaching, and there was one guy, he was, what's wrong with that? And the guy that I went in there with said, well, he's a heifer. I said, really? We've been around cattle. I know what a heifer is, but what's a huffer? He says, well, he uses a empty bread bag. The loaf of bread came in and puts, sprays paint in there, and then he inhales that. And the reason he's like that is he has fried his brain cells. He's never going to get better than that. Sin takes a toll on your body, and we don't have to go through and examine every kind of sin, but there's lung cancer that's associated with cigarette smoking. You know, we were down there in Costa Rica. We were walking through the terminal. Those of us who went on that trip down there, and there's the red and white box to imitate either Winston or Marlboro, I guess. And it didn't say Surgeon General warns anything. It says smoking kills. So they got a connection there, and sin is that way. It shortens your life. It takes a toll on your body, and sin takes a toll on your mind. You know, Dr. Benny has been here, Jim Benny. Matter of fact, we've been talking so much about the Bible conference, we hadn't wanted to give you overlapping signals and get you confused. He's going to be here the first weekend in November. And I'm looking forward to him being here. We've got a real special thing that we're going to announce to you shortly that we're going to do while he's here. But he said, you know, and he is a doctor. He is degreed in psychology. He is certified to do psychological counseling. And he said, as I started to do psychological counseling and tried to diagnose all these disorders that I was seeing, I realized I had nothing in psychology that could help these people. And I learned that the remedies are biblical remedies, not psychological remedies. But here's what he said. When I encountered people who were coming to me with problems, they were always rooted in one of three things: sin, Satan, or sickness. Well, there are times when you get sick that it affects your mental attitude and it'll affect your spirit. And so you have to deal with that if it is a medical issue. But a lot of times those medical issues are also complicated by mental and spiritual issues. And we can deal with those out of the Bible. And the Lord says, if you will fear me, if you will depart from evil, if you will get my words into your eyes and keep them down into your hearts, that's going to have an effect, a positive effect on your health. It's going to help you. When we were there in Proverbs chapter 3, and we saw this thing with the fear of the Lord and departing from evil, he said, it'd be health to thy navel. There is a direct correlation to the time you spend in the Bible and the encouragement, instruction you take from it, and when you obey it, there is a positive effect on your health that you can see over a period of time. There really is. But he also said, it'll be marrow to your bones. See that in verse 8? It'll be marrow to your bones. Now that's pretty interesting, since we don't know that Solomon in all of his wisdom actually got any kind of a medical degree. Okay? But he saw some things. And he says, it's going to be marrow to thy bones. Keep your finger here real quick and go to Job chapter 21. So, Job chapter 21. When you're looking for health in your countenance, in your flesh, fear God, depart from evil, and get those words into you. And then in Job chapter 21, look at verse 24. Just one verse, but notice what he says. His breasts are full of milk and his bones are moistened with marrow. Now, his bones are moistened with marrow. So there is a benefit to having healthy marrow. Some of you are familiar. We have prayed for a long time for Juan Diego on Wednesday nights. Juan Diego has Hodgkin's disease, which is a type of cancer, and he's been going through all kinds of treatments. And recently what they did is they harvested stem cells and then transplanted those back into his body, hoping that those good cells would then, with all the other treatment that they've given him, bring him back to whole without Hodgkin's disease. They're dealing with his marrow. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Now, what's going on with this marrow? Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Isn't that interesting? You know, what's he doing talking about the bones, talking about your skeletal structure? Well, some of your bones in your body have marrow in them. And that marrow contains stem cells. I'm not going to give you a scientific medical lesson. Couldn't possibly do that, but I just give you this little tidbit. It contains stem cells, and the stem cells can develop into red blood cells, which carry oxygen to your body, or white blood cells, which fight infection in your body, or platelets, which cause clotting in your blood. But boy, I'll tell you what, when that blood gets messed up, it can be a real problem. I was talking to a missionary's wife not too long ago and diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And she described what that is. The blood cells are supposed to be nice and round, and they look like they've been crushed. And when they get that way, they don't work efficiently, don't carry the oxygen through the body efficiently. Now, I'm not saying that you start reading the Bible and all of a sudden you don't have fibromyalgia anymore. It's not the cure. What he's saying is that it contributes to the health of the bones, and the health of the bones contribute to the health of your body. And that's important. When he talks about making the bones fat, there's something to it. So what did he say will do that? What makes the bones fat? A good report. A good report. Do you know that some of us are magnets for bad reports? There are some of us here tonight like bad news. You really do. You say, how do you know that? Because you'll go to the internet in the morning or tonight when you get home, and you're going to go see what bad thing happened in Washington, or what bad thing happened in the weather, or what bad thing is going on internationally with the economy or with war. You're like, and then blog about it, or talk about it, or write about it, or tell your friends about it. Man, did you know what they're doing in Washington now? Or whatever. So, and I'm saying some of us. And you know what happens when you expose yourself to a bad report more than you expose yourself to a good report? It affects your health. A good report maketh the bones fat. I'm reminded of something. I'm reminded of something in the New Testament about a good report. Philippians 4:8. We're talking about godliness improving your health now. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren. I know this is true. It's in the Bible. It's true. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8 is a template for your thought life. If anything you think about does not fit Philippians 4:8, you oughtn't to think about it. You know what happens? People get thinking about something that doesn't fit Philippians 4:8, and then they pray, God, please, take my thoughts captive. Bring down these strongholds of imagination. Right? Weapons of warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll tell you, God can do that, but you need to quit putting those thoughts in your head. It's a lot easier for Him to bring those thoughts into captivity if you're not soaking them up from all these other outside sources where the reports are not good. You know, because we're in the ministry and we pastor, we're given the opportunity to counsel, both from folks here in the church, but then other folks that we see or other folks that know us and call or that have found us on the internet or whatever the case may be. And many times in counseling them, I have to refer them to Philippians 4:8 because their thought life is messed up, and their thought life is messed up, listen, because there's bad input. And they say, well, I can't quit thinking about these things. And I say, listen, I pointed what Paul said. Paul said, these are the six things that should guide the principle of your thinking. And if those six things are not in what you're thinking about, then quit thinking about it. Because a bad report, if a good report makes the bones fat, then a bad report's not going to make the bones fat. It's going to have a negative effect. Now, when I use myself as an illustration, try to do that rarely. Never try to hold myself up. I'm not trying to hold myself up as an example and say you need to do it the way that I do it. But I'm just telling you this illustration so that you can have something to relate to. If I hear a bad report, recently when we had this Judiciary Committee making a decision about an appointment to the Supreme Court. There was a lot of bad reports. And one evening, I just kind of wanted to see where we were. I stayed away from the news, and I looked at two articles, and I was revved up. And you know what it did? Listen, it affected my sleep. I didn't rest well. Well, woke up in the morning, I was agitated from a less than good night's sleep. And I always do the same thing in the morning. I get my cup of coffee made, I sit down, open my Bible, and start reading. That's just how I do it. I went to the computer to see what the new news was that came in overnight. It has that draw. And I got mad about it. When I got mad about it, I could feel in my body stress, elevated heart rate, agitation. That's not good for me. What'd you do about it? I didn't look at another report. I waited until somebody told me the outcome of the election, the vote on Saturday. They said, oh, by the way, did you know that Judge Kavanaugh was appointed to the Supreme Court? I said, well, praise the Lord. When are they gonna do his swearing in? They've already done it. Same day. That's a good report. It was for me anyway. Yeah. And you know what? Listen, just I didn't lose any sleep the rest of that week. Wasn't affected by it at all. You know why? Because I said this, Lord, you're in charge of these matters, not me. And if you want that type of person in there, you can get him in there. If you don't want him in there, you can keep him out of there. I'm going to let you make that decision. I'm going to go about and take care of what you've got here. And it positively affected my life. I could concentrate on my Bible reading more, enjoy it more. That's enough of a personal illustration. Just wanted to give you that little bit so you have something that you can relate perhaps to your own life. If the input is bad, it's going to affect your health. And if the input is good, it is going to positively affect your health. He said, a good report makes the bones fat. But you know, there's some other things that can affect your bones. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I mean, there's something going on. You want to study this after you can go in there and dive in all your favorite resources for learning and see what else goes on in your bones and why they need to be good and strong and fat. I think it has to do with stuff like osteoporosis and osteomyelitis and all these other things. I don't even know what they mean, but I hear about them from time to time from people that are just a little further down the road than me. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. You say, well, what are you bringing that up for? Some of you aren't married yet. Some of you aren't married yet. Now I want to tell you something. You want to check that woman out real carefully before you get married, because you want to find out whether she's going to crown your head or rot your bones. I'm telling you. I mean, she can be real pretty and rot your bones. You just take a look at Hollywood. How many times those women have been married? That's something else, man. A bad woman. You know what? And he says rottenness in your bones. She works on you from the inside out. Now, undoubtedly, you know, what's happening is there's a lot of griping and complaining and cussing and discussing and everything else that goes on in the house. And boy, you just don't want one of those. You know, Solomon said, I'll tell you what, if you've got one like that, a contentious type of woman, you're better off to live in the wilderness than you are to come home, get you a tent, or go hide in the corner of a housetop, you know, because she'll work you over. Back when we were young and we would work cattle at the ranch, the whole crew would go out in the morning and ride. If we had to work cattle out back into the ranch, well, you'd have to get there and work all day, and then you had to ride all the way back to the headquarters. When you're riding back to the headquarters, there's nothing to do but just talk. And some of those old cowboys used to tell us, and I heard them say it several times. I don't know if they were relating to us personal experience, but they were trying to give us some counsel in our young age. They said, if you're not a man with a lot of guts, that doggone woman's going to drive you nuts. Don't you marry one of those. Don't you? Why? She'll rot your bones. And you don't want rotten bones. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Just health-related counsel from the Word of God. Don't neglect this while you're doing all the other things that you're trying to do to improve your health. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. 14:30, Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Those Pharisees, you know why they sent Jesus Christ over to Pilate, had him crucified? Envy. You know what happened to those Jews when they got out into the wilderness against Moses? Envy. You know what happened to Joseph's brothers when they finally sold him into slavery? Envy. Envy. It's a terrible, terrible thing. The Bible tells us, don't envy sinners. I really think that's one of the things that's getting some of our young people. You've been growing up in church and you think, life here is so dull. Well, if you get to be our age, a dull life is a wonderful thing. It really is. People say, how was your travel? I say, totally uneventful. And for all of you, I've said it this morning in Sunday school, I want to say it to you all tonight. I know many of you prayed for us while we were gone. Our travel truly was uneventful. You could have set your watch by the flight schedules. They were so on time, and I want to thank you really from the bottom of my heart for doing that. But what happens, you think in here, you're growing up in a dull place. I want to go out there in the world, see what they're doing out there. It looks like they're having so much fun. He says, you're envying sinners, and he said, don't do that. Don't do that. And I can tell you, it's the wrong thing. It will eat you inside out. Proverbs 17, look at verse 22, another one. Proverbs 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But look at this. A broken spirit drieth the bones, drieth the bones. Ooh, we're going to talk about that. I didn't skip over the first part of that. We got that in the lesson here. Listen, a broken spirit, a bad marriage, envy. He's telling you this is going to take a toll on your health. It's going to attack the source, the stem cells, the source of all the other health coming out of that marrow when you get into these kind of things. So, boy, take warning, take heed to these things. You do not want to go in that direction. Your health is affected. So you've seen this much. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse 18. What you're doing tonight is helpful to you. You said, oh, do we really need to go to church tonight? It's Sunday night. We shouldn't have to go there. It's good for your health. It's good for your health. Proverbs 12, 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You're getting the tongue of the wise tonight. And that's not because I'm a wise guy. It's because Solomon is wise, the Lord is wise in giving you what he had to say. This is good for your health. You'll go to the gym and work out for an hour. Why, you know, come spend an hour down at church. He said, this is profitable for the life that now is and for the life to come. You're getting a double benefit out of hearing something from the Word of God spoken to you by a preacher. Listen, I read the Bible, study the Bible. You read the Bible, you study the Bible. It is a unique thing that God has done with preaching. While we were in Idaho, I heard 11 different preachers preach. I preached 3 times and listened to 11 messages. I got something good out of every preacher that preached. And you say, well, what is that? God gives something to a man that you didn't see in the Bible. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of stuff we hadn't seen in this book. And he puts it to you in a way that it's just got your name and address on it. Return address, God Almighty in heaven above. Boom, he just gives that to you. It's wonderful, wonderful how that is. And so you benefit from that, and you benefit in your health. Boy, you know, he says he compares two things. He talks about there is that speak like the piercings of a sword. I'm thinking of Shimei when he's cursing David. David is in exile away from Absalom. He's just tearing him up and cutting him down. You don't want that kind of tongue. But he says the tongue of the wise is health. Now, when he puts those two together, you know what I'm thinking? You got one guy, both of these are using a knife. One is using the sword like he's trying to kill you, and the other one is using it like a surgeon. In other words, the tongue of the wise is health. He may cut you, but not to cut you down. He may cut you because the word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, but he's doing it in an effort to make you better. Doesn't a surgeon do that? You ever had surgery before? Well, you're glad he didn't use a butter knife. You want a sharp knife, get in there, cut the thing, remove the problem and sew it up. I was talking to somebody the other day and he says that he's done very well in plastic surgery. They were hunting partners. And he said, but my hunting partner, who's the orthopedic surgeon, said, you know what, people don't judge me by the quality of my work, how good the joint works after I'm done. You know how they judge me? By the look of the scar. So he said, you know what I did? I went and I found a plastic surgeon and added him to my practice. And that way they think I'm doing good because I let him do the cut and I let him do the sewing up. Sometimes, in other words, a knife is a very beneficial thing if it's used, listen, properly. Tongue of the wise is health. I'm thinking of Nathan. David got pierced by those terrible words of Shimei, but what about Nathan after Bathsheba? Thou art the man. You don't think that cut him? But he was a better man for it. Faithful, listen, faithful to the wounds of a friend. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And so sometimes you come to church and it's not all just a feel-good thing. Sometimes you get a little... But God does that for you because He's interested in your health. That's what He is. Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. 13:17. But a faithful ambassador is health. You know what we do? You know what Tony does? You know what I do? You know what Pastor Randy does, or any man that's prayed before he gets in this pulpit does? You know what he does? He goes to God in prayer, humbly seeking from the Lord the message that he wants preached that morning or that night. And he gets in this pulpit as an ambassador for God and faithfully delivers that message to you. And you know what he said? It's health. So you made a wise choice in coming to church tonight. This is good for you. It's just as good as the broccoli and spinach you ate for lunch. Or whatever. Or that hamburger and cheese, yeah, that you had with French fries, amen. Just one more time. I mean, as long as we're doing this, right? Proverbs 16:24. We're getting close. I know I'm showing you a lot of verses, but isn't it true that the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses is every word established? Look at this. There's a lot more in here about health than you think. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, look at that, and health to the bones. And these are pleasant words. You say, well, you may think they're pleasant. I'm not having very much fun here. They are pleasant. If you go home and digest these, you'll find out that, hey, you have learned something tonight to add to the other things you're doing to improve your health that will be beneficial to you. And what you're doing here, listening to the preaching of the Word of God, listening to an ambassador who has come with a message from the Lord and giving you pleasant words, is good for your health. Proverbs 14:30. Let's look at the heart one more time. Proverbs 14:30. Look at the heart one more time. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Boy, we know that. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. You know, at some point in your age, if you're really young, you're not really thinking so much about your heart. But you get older, you really start thinking about that. Your blood pressure starts to change. You get more concerned about cholesterol, about the possibility of the hardening of arteries. And so you start getting real concerned about your heart, particularly if you have any kind of something going on in there. And so, maybe you weren't watching it too much when you were younger, but boy, the first time your cardiologist or your doctor says, you know, we need to kind of take a look at that blood pressure. For at least a little while, you get serious about taking care of your heart. And it's a very important thing. Last time I checked, when it quits beating... We don't need to have this discussion about health anymore. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. And so you want to keep it sound. All right, well, think about this. Pharaoh had a hard heart. We talk about hardening of the arteries, right? And he had a hard heart because he didn't know God. He didn't want to know God. And whenever Moses came in with Aaron and they started putting all those plagues on Egypt, he was not getting the message. And all he did was oppose God more and more. You don't want to do that. You don't want one that's hardened. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it really is. But may I tell you something? You don't always have to live with a wicked heart. No, you can take the sound words and of the Scripture and your heart can change. That's what David said, create in me a new heart, right? A clean heart. Clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Yeah, you can do that. I mean, the Lord can take that heart and really change it. Most of you, if we had the time, we could say, get up here and tell us how the Lord has changed your heart. The Lord has changed your heart. And man, one after another, if you've been saved any period of time living for the Lord, you could say, man, He really changed my heart about this or about that. And it'd be an amazing thing. So it doesn't always have to be deceitful. Listen, an unbelieving heart, terrible thing to have. The reason that you can get something out of this Scripture is because of a heart that believes the words of God. Now compare that type of heart, unbelieving, hardened, deceitful, desperately wicked heart. Compare that with this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Boy, that's a different heart. You know what that is? That's a sound heart. A heart that loves God is a sound heart. How about this? You can read about this in Psalm 119. We don't have to look at the references. There's some right there in the middle, but about loving the words of God. Not just reading them, but loving them. That's a sound heart. How about this? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. That you love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. How about that heart? Boy, that's something. A heart that loves God, a heart that loves His children, a heart that loves the words of God. How about this? Set not your affection on things on the earth, but set your affection on things above. How about that one? Where you're loving the things of God above. That has an effect on your heart, and when it has an effect on your heart, it has an effect on your health. That's why he said in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, which we've already read, we didn't talk about the first part, but we're going to talk about it now. A merry heart doeth good. What did he say? Like a medicine. Like a medicine. And now you can see why. You see, there are times when you get sick, you take medicine in order not to be sick or to deal with the symptoms of your sickness or to actually correct the health problems that gave you those symptoms. I mean, it just depends on what the medication is and what the problem is. He says, when you're doing that and you're going down to talk to the doctor about those matters, don't forget about a merry heart. That will do good like a medicine. And so John wrote to Gaius, he said, I wish that you would be in good health. He meant that. When he said godliness is profitable for this life and the one to come, he meant that. When he said, God is the health of my countenance, he meant that. You fear God, you depart from evil, you sit and receive the counsel of good preaching and the counsel of good counsel. You get the words in your eyes and you keep them down in your heart. You watch out who you marry. Don't envy. Don't get that broken spirit. And I'm not the contrite spirit that softens you for the Lord, but that broken spirit that comes from being wounded. Take care of that heart. Keeping it in love with God and love of His words and love of the brethren, love of the things above. It will give you the best spiritual advantage for good health that you can possibly have. So I commend you to these words. Father, thank you so much tonight for some very practical instruction from the words of God. And Father, we know that some came here tonight just ready to hear from you, and they learned something in all of this that they're going to incorporate in their lives to have better health. Like we said, it's not the cure-all. Just improves the health. Then there's some that'll hear this and tomorrow they won't remember what they heard. I pray that you'll help us in both of those. Those who want to do something with this, help us to learn exactly how to apply these words in our lives so we can make the changes that are necessary from what we've heard. And for those who will soon forget, please bring it back to their memory. Give them a confirming witness to this so they say, oh, that's right, I was supposed to do that. Make the changes that you want us to make. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.